Hi, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS FM Columbus. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. First up on today's show, Upper Arlington student Josh Jackson talks about how and why grades are not the best indication about the life you can create and the change you can make in the world.
Remember your first day of school? The new faces, beaming in all directions, staring up towards a much larger and slightly mysterious teacher? Stumbling through the awkward first encounters with the other classmates and associating yourself with a small group of friends in just seconds? Remember your sense of utter bewilderment when it struck you square in the gut as the teacher called on you for your credentials? Without skipping a beat, your butterflies jump to the occasion and without a second to miss, begin to churn in a most stomach-wrenching fashion. In a slow but steady movement, you stood before the class with a hesitative lurch and announced to the world that you were such and such and were a kindergartner at blank and blank elementary school. With a new empowered sense of self-worth, you gracefully sat back down in your carpet square with pulsating ecstasy running through your veins. Not only to be capped off with a newly acquired friend's high five, but a smile from a girl across the room. In a matter of just 7 hours, you were quickly thrust into a new world full of creativity and imagination. We all know this feeling, the feeling of limitless possibilities and many great adventures ahead. But that day was the last for such a feeling. Soon, there's going to be a much greater goal in the classroom. It's a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong. It gets a little better now. We can break it down. Yes, we can break it. Sadly, you're surely going to be shifted from limitless possibilities to one single goal. It has crafted some of the best minds in the educational manufacturing line. Just look at the highest academic institutions for examples, Harvard, Princeton, MIT, etc. You can't refute the worth of these incredible schools, but there is something lost in their greatness. This would be the rest of us. The kids in class who didn't get all A's on every test. These will be the ones who run our country. For the top 20% of academic minds, does not apply to you. This radio cast is directed to quote-unquote normal kids. Through hard work and perseverance, our country will grow in future millennia stronger than ever. I ask you one simple question. Will it be on the backs of those highly educated? Or will it be on the backs of the rest? Let's take a quick look at some of the greatest minds that succeeded without being very good, well, test takers. Just one of the most influential people in World War II, Winston Churchill, suffered from a speech impediment. His academic performance was lackluster, and he never seemed to showcase his talent. His personal obstacle had no effect on his later life, because he pushed through it and, well, shined in the political spotlight. Next, we have Thomas Edison, the creator of the light bulb, and some would even go on to say, the father of modern life. He spent only 3 months in school before realizing he was a square peg in a circular hole. The list goes on and on, the names in the realm of Walt Disney, Bill Gates, and Albert Einstein. These are just a few of some of the great minds that never truly fit within the confines of normal education. However, let's take a step back before all the kids in the class claim they're the next Thomas Edison and proceed to leave class. What do all these men have in common? Although they probably all did share the same affliction for hair loss, there's a better shared characteristic. This would be the craving for knowledge and advancement. Did Bill Gates stop at his first attempt to learn a programming language called BASIC? No, far from. He self-educated himself until he was a programming prodigy, able to code in almost all known forms of programming language for his time. All of the names mentioned before were nothing along the close line to dropout. They dropped into an even more rigorous course of study, self-directed and even more challenging than the normal curriculum. These men pushed the limits of learning far past what a classroom could ever achieve. The lesson to be learned from these men would be, whether you are a great student or not, grades are just meant to be an indicator of a person's intelligence, not the end-all be-all. You can prove your teachers wrong through hard work and self-motivation to pursue your passion. There is something not taught in schools for all those kids listening out there. Passion. It's the key to being successful, whatever you do. Whether it's music or art, maybe even mathematics, just follow your dream with passion and great things will happen. Grades are not the end-all be-all. Prove the standardized tests wrong and go out into the world and do great things. I'm sure you can get the first day of kindergarten feeling all over again. It's out there. You just have to work for it.
Next, I am talking to the coordinator of a local variety show featuring talent from across the city. A city which she believes could be a hub of creativity and entertainment. Tamika Perry, also known as Miss Meek, coordinates local creative events and hosts a radio talk show called Creative Connections, which airs on talktainmentradio.com. Before an important show on Saturday, May 26th, I sat down with her to talk about one of the events called Spit and Sketch, which is...
It's a live variety show, and we started it June of 2010. Our first venue we had it at for 18 months was Wild Goose Creative. It began as an idea to bring poetry and poetry and as an open mic, but it kind of morphed into something way bigger than I even thought it was going to when I started meeting different artists in the city that did something other than the poetry or the spoken word kind of thing. I started dealing with comedians and dancers, started dealing with musicians, live music, acoustic, hip-hop artists, dance crews, hip-hop dance crews, interpretive dance. We've worked with a number of the belly dancing squads here in the city. I've worked with burlesque squads in the city. It just kind of turned into a live variety show. So as of today, that's what it is. It's Spit and Sketch, a live variety show.
And these shows happen three times each month at different venues, including the OSU Urban Arts Space, which, if everything goes according to plan...
We hope the Urban Arts Center picks it up as one of their permanent free programs. That was our goal to begin with. So this is kind of like a trial run, but I have faith that they'll like what we put together. And with that being said, then you'll see us every fourth Saturday of the month at the OSU Urban Arts Center.
The reason this show, the one that happens every fourth Saturday, is so important is that it helps benefit the Urban Warriors, a group that has a special place in Miss Meek's life.
The original Spit and Sketch, which is the name of this particular showcase, linked up with the Urban Warriors back in June of 2011 when I met up with different poets and whatnot and people that were already involved in that program. And they were talking to me about my son, who was going through transition at the time, going from being a kid to a teenager. So there were some difficulties and I needed to place him somewhere where there was positive reinforcement and kids that he could relate to and get out into the community and just see another side of things so that he didn't feel like he was being pigeonholed and this was the only thing that he could do with his life and getting in trouble was cool. I wanted him to see something else. So my friend Kwesi Lowe, he came to me and he said, you know, you should meet this guy. His name's Devin Shaw. He runs the Urban Warriors through the Columbus Urban League and they just teach the kids about decision making and choices and how to make that transition from being a kid to a young man. They get out in the community and there's field trips and there's all kinds of things that they do with the kids. It's really just a positive program for the kids. So I talked to Devin and I said, this is what I do. I have this showcase. It's once a month at the time and it was the only one I did. And I said, if you're okay with that, I'd like to start raising money for you guys because you've really helped with my son. And he was like, you know, we can always take whatever you can get for us. And that first June show, they were in the midst of raising money for the kids to go to camp. And Spit and Sketch helped put them over the top. So all in all, we Spit and Sketch was a part of everybody else that had a hand in raising $9,000 for the kids to go to camp. So from that point on, I just said, you know, we're going to raise money. This show will be an official sponsor. So we took a break for about 4 months. And in that time, I lined up three different venues to do three different versions of Spit and Sketch. And the one at the OSU Urban Arts Center will always be the fundraiser for the Urban Warriors.
Miss Meek encourages all youth to come out to this showcase and perform. She wants to feature many different youth arts groups around Columbus. One such of these groups is Transit Arts.
They teach hip-hop dance. They used to teach DJing, airbrush arts, and they do poetry. Some of the kids sing, and they teach different classes that are free to the public at the Community House, which is over there on Champion and Main, and then the Neighborhood House, which is on Atchison. The kids come together, they practice, and then Transit Arts books them for different performances throughout the city. So you'll see them a lot at the different festivals that go on. Hot Times Confest, the Arts Festival. Sometimes they get picked up to do talent shows. They just had a talent show at Columbus International a couple of weeks ago. They're just everywhere, really giving the kids an opportunity to feel a sense of community and coming together and putting on professional showcases. June's show will feature Through Mind's Eye, which is another after school type program where they teach kids about music production, dance, poetry, comedy, and art. So we're going to try and feature as many people in the city that are trying to do something for the kids pertaining to creativity and entertainment.
These events turn out to be great networking and partnership opportunities for youth and adults alike.
It's almost a guarantee that you're going to link up with somebody that's going to help further what you're trying to do. The networking abilities are outrageous, and I don't know why that is. And I not that I'm complaining or anything, but for some reason, I'm able to connect a lot of different kinds of folk. I've had people who have never, ever thought that they would ever get into the industry entertainment-wise or creative-wise, and the first time they ever performed was through Spit and Sketch, and now their careers are taking off. These are comedians, poets that I've given the first time around. I've had people link up with Web TV Columbus through Spit and Sketch. I've had people link up with the folks that run ComFest, Independence Day Festival, Hot Times. It just is a hub for networking. So I encourage anybody that, even if you don't want to perform, just come out and see what we got going on. You're going to meet somebody that is going to help you further whatever your particular agenda is.
Miss Meek is passionate about supporting the arts and entertainment in Columbus because she has been around the creative scene for years. And
I have watched it go from one poetry night in the entire city, and that was when Ed Mabry started his poetry night at the Brownstone, and that was almost 10 years ago, to what it is today, which is you can go anywhere in the city any day of the week and deal with creativity, whether it's comedy, poetry, live music, dancing, a collection of all of it, festivals, and many little parties going on. It's just outrageous, the growth that's going on. I feel like people don't really realize that we are a hub for entertainers. And my goal really is to put Columbus on the map to the point where when people are looking for talent, raw talent, great talent that is marketable, and these people are hungry, they want to be known, they want to be seen and noticed, that they're going to think of Columbus, Ohio, along with Atlanta, Georgia, and Miami, Florida, and New York City, and LA, and Columbus will be in that list. Like, don't forget about them, because they are working it in the Midwest. I believe we're going to see that within the next 10 to 15 years.
Columbus has a ways to go before it can get this reputation as an entertainment hub. In fact, during a meeting with a few national entertainment promoters, Miss Meek caught a chuckle when she mentioned she was from Columbus. But then she told them what was what.
They always think we're, you know, a cow town. We don't have nothing but cornfields growing everywhere. And you could not be further from the truth. Columbus is a busy city. We're really blowing up. And I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to be a part of the history that's being made.
Miss Meek encourages newcomers to the art scene to get involved with Transit Arts Group, Brothers Helping Brothers, and other local groups, as well as to contact her at shannonmarieevents@yahoo.com about performing in Spit and Sketch and other events.
And I don't want anybody to think, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm not professional. You got to start somewhere. So come start with us.
The next Spittin' Sketch is on the 16th of June at Zanzibar Brews from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. It costs $5 and will feature live jazz, R&B, hip-hop, comedy, and poetry. Upper Arlington student Andrew Sarno shares an experience he had at summer camp that, though it was gruesome, helped him better understand the world around him and appreciate the importance of his alternative summer experience.
Summer, the magical season. When young children run through the chilled sprinkler and the adults camping late at night, barbecuing and talking about the newest trend. A time of beaches and ballparks. A time for family and friends to relax. A time of hot dogs and fireworks. Well, I didn't do any of that. I did something completely different. When I think of Wobbin, the camp I go to every summer, I think of the experience. Not so much the bugs, tents, or rain, but more the why am I doing this? Why would I rather have this experience than encountering the summer everyone else has at home? Well, I arrived at camp in late June with a plan. A plan to have a different experience that no one else could have. This summer, there were 12 of us. We went down a river, a beautiful river. I could tell you more about what we did, saw, and ate, but it wouldn't be the same. The truth is, all the great laughs and fun we had are between us. It was like a private party, except we went to bed way before the real parties actually started. Ultimately, we were given an opportunity to use our determination and strength to accomplish this journey. It isn't so much the journey of paddling and portaging across river and land, but more the journey of memories. The real journey was what happened under the fly, with the fire burning and the dinner hot. Watching the serenity of the lake. Watching the birds fly and moose run. Watching nature. You never understand what Earth is or has to offer until you experience wilderness at first hand. We got to paddle over untraveled river and walk over untouched land. One particular day stood out to me. We paddled a long distance, finally reaching our campsite that was perched at the top left of a waterfall. The people not on kitchen duty that night, including me, decided we would go and enjoy the view of the waterfall. We were not in the mood to talk considering the long day, so we sat there in silence, admiring what was before us. I was focused on the bank of the river at the bottom of the waterfall when I noticed a movement in the bush across the way. I didn't think anything of it except maybe a squirrel or raccoon trying to take the crumbs from the cooking meal. But right before my eyes, a deer came out of the bush. It wasn't very uncommon, but still a sight to see. Next to the deer came a deer, half the size, looking like a newborn. I intensely watched every move, trying to figure out the thought process of these spectacular creatures. Then, all of a sudden, a wolf jumped right out from behind a camouflage rock, leaping onto the so-called mother. The mother collapsed to the ground with the newborn running in the opposite direction. It was over in almost a heartbeat. All that was left was the wolf taking what portion it would want for dinner and then vanishing into the heavy forest. We were on our feet at this point, calling for everyone to come see. It was silence for about 5 minutes until I heard the same rustle of bushes I had heard from the deer before. It was a baby deer. I had come back for its mother. The sight we saw looked like it was from a motion picture. The baby deer sat right next to its mother. It was truly unbelievable. I thought long and hard that night about what happened, thinking about the horrifying scene I had encountered. But then it came to me. I remembered my plan. I was going to have a different experience than everyone else. What I had just seen was nature. It was what I had come there for. That was part of life. The wolf needed food, and the deer just happened to be its meal. It took a while for everyone to process this too, but we had become aware of nature. We truly changed the meaning of summer.
On the second day of their leadership program, I talked to middle school students from Worthington about my thoughts on leadership. In return, they shared their thoughts on leadership and their experiences as leaders.
I went and I volunteered for the Arthritis Foundation, and I cleaned trash all day, and I helped with the car show.
Okay, so amazing. So how did you get involved with the Arthritis Foundation?
My mom used to work for them.
Okay, and what was the car show like? I'm not going to ask about the trash because that probably was really boring.
But well, I drove a golf cart, so it was kind of fun. The Arthritis Foundation, people hold a car show, and a lot of people just bring their cars, and all the money that's made on fees goes to the Arthritis Foundation.
Okay, and so how did you help out there?
Handed out trophies, and I walked around with my grandpa, who's a judge. He's big on old cars and stuff like that. He has a Porsche and stuff. I think he just judged it based on engine quality and all that.
It was a musical called Don't Say No to the USO, and I played Kilroy. He's the lead role. For a couple months before the play, we had to meet after school every day and practice our lines and playing the parts.
Okay. And so were you nervous going out on stage, or had you done kind of stage performance before?
Well, yeah, we did a couple full run-throughs of the play before the actual performance, so it wasn't that bad.
Okay. And then how did it go the night of? Did you do well? Did you feel like you did well?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I've been the captain of the football, wrestling, and lacrosse team.
Okay. So what is being captain of the team's entail? What do you have to do as captain?
You have to lead warm-ups and stuff and get everybody ready for the game or practice.
Okay. Have you had any difficult situations where people weren't maybe cooperating, they weren't being good teammates, and you had to step in or anything like that?
Yeah, people screw around before the coach gets out there, and you have to get them ready.
What's the hardest thing to get over when being a leader?
You have to be confident enough to not always care what other people think, because people aren't always going to agree with the decisions you make. And so you have to kind of be open to everyone's input, but you also have to do what's best for whatever you're doing.
You have to know that just because you're the one that's a leader, you have to still take other people's decisions and kind of discuss about the problem and how you're supposed to solve it and things like that. And you have to know that people are not really counting on you, but listening to you about what you have to say, and not to goof off sometimes, in serious situations.
If you're with your friends or your family, if you're trying to be a leader, I think the hardest thing to get over is them just being why would we do that? Or just saying no, just completely not even caring, or just throwing out a completely wrong answer or a wrong way to do things with complete confidence. I think that's the hardest thing, the confidence issue.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and on Facebook. You can email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening.
I would to reach out my hand. Ombe sayo, ombe tell you to run. Well, pick me up with golden hand. Oh, let's sail. Oh, let's tell you to run.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm over to see, over to y'all. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. How about we run? How about cry?
Well, Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio high schools, youth groups, and universities. The show is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, a grant from the Ohio State Community Access to Resources and Educational Services Program, the Buffin West Foundation, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.